Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this brisk Sunday morning. I'm so glad to see all of you here today. I have a few announcements for you. Our big craft show is coming up, and that means that we need some baked goods to sell at the craft show. So, the craft show is the 27th of October.
21st.
Why do I keep saying that? So that's only a couple weeks away. So you're going to want to get your baked goods in to BJ ASAP. I also wanted to let you know that we are collecting Thanksgiving dinner items like boxed or canned stuffing, cranberry sauce, those types of things for the Aetna Food Bank. So you'll want to bring those back. I also want to give just a huge, huge thank you for everyone who came out yesterday for the garden cleanup. I was teasing Clara that you guys, man, what were you guys doing all day? You only got half of the garden cleaned up. Yeah. Well, I had already worked 45 hours this week when it came to Sunday, so to Saturday. But I was also preparing for the pet blessing. And you all did a great, great job, and I'm just really excited. I can't even name all of the people. I know there was Clara. Okay. Oh, Sandy can.
Thank you so much, Clara, Peggy, Carol, Roy and Janet, and grandson Caleb. He was a big help. So we not only did a little over half of the inside of the fenced area, but a ton around the outside of the fenced area. So despite yellow jackets and, you know, people falling over, we came off without a hitch.
Yes, thank you. There is a deacons meeting after worship today. And any other announcements that I need to...
How many pets were here?
How many pets? Oh, yes, our pet blessing yesterday. There were five pets? Four? Five pets, five doggos, plus several pictures, and it was a wonderful time. You validated me. Going to seminary feels so much better now that I've been able to do that. It was a really lovely little get together, and you know, got to bless the doggos. So I even got to bless Mickey's dog Bacon later on. Bacon doesn't really like other dogs or people, so I blessed Bacon from afar. He did seem to like me. Can you blame him? So that was great. Any other announcements? All right, with that, let us gather together, let's gather together, place our phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings, and get ready to worship God. The Lord leads us like a shepherd. God nourishes our lives and restores our souls. The Lord is with us, even in the darkest valley. God's goodness and mercy are always close. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart.
Thank you.
Let us come before the throne of God, the mercy seat, with all of our humanity, open to the peace of promised forgiveness. You invite us to your feast, O God, and we do not come. You beg us to give thanks for life, and we fail in our thanksgiving. You have made for us a wonderful earth, and we neglect the gift. Forgive us for what we have done, and for abandoning the pathway you desire for us. Be our guide and conscience. Turn our feet and hands to your will, that all we do might give glory to you. Amen. The God of peace, who calls all creation to live in unity, hears your plea. In the spirit of feasting and thanksgiving, in the mercy of Almighty God, you are forgiven. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, it is time to greet one another with signs of peace. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Great God, in you is more love than we can imagine and more grace than we can fathom. You have shown yourself in Jesus Christ as a God who meets us where we are and loves us as we are. We are glad for this day and grateful for your many gifts. You bring good things into our lives, more than we can name and more than we can number. You give us the bread of life, sustaining our souls and feeding our deepest hungers. You accompany us on our way. Thank you for your abundant faithfulness. Our hearts are full with many things today. Disease and death and pain and sorrow are constantly among us. The journey through these days is marked by uncertainty and heartache, and we're frequently overwhelmed by the needs around us and within us. Some need healing, some need encouragement, some need comfort, some need assurance, but we all need hope. We especially pray for Roy's friend who had a stroke earlier in September. Mona Pomeroy, Cliff's mother-in-law, is in the hospital and not looking so great. And his wife, Marcia, we pray for her as she travels to be close to her mom. We pray for Roy's cataract surgery later this week. And we also pray for friend of Suzanne and AJ, Spanky, who was recently diagnosed with stomach cancer. We turn to you asking you to hear our prayers and grant what we need for the living of these days. We pray for our nation, for renewed commitments to our common life. Refresh us in the values of your heart. Justice, righteousness, compassion, mercy, peace. Help us to find a unity of purpose as citizens and neighbors. We pray for your church in places near and far. May the waters of your grace continually refresh and empower us to extend the love of Jesus to all people. We pray for the Presbyterian Church, for the clarity of our witness and the success of our mission. We pray for our congregation, for our life together, and for our efforts to follow in the way of Jesus. Hear us, hold us, heal us, help us. We pray all these things for the sake of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our hymn of meditation, the prayer of St. Francis.
There is in dream a weary heart.
Please be seated. Beloved, do not worry about anything, but in everything let your requests be known, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the assurance of this promise, let us confidently offer ourselves to God, knowing that God has already provided all that we need. Let us now receive our tithes and offerings. God, you are our provider. We offer all that we have and all that we are to you because we belong to you. Bless these gifts and empower your church that through the work of your Spirit we may be a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade in the heat. Through Christ, our shield and stronghold. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture reading for today is from Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Who kudos on those name pronunciations. Those were, yeah, nice. Nice job. Please pray with me. Gracious God, illumine these words by your Spirit that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would us be. For the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. So the last few weeks we were talking about loving our enemies, and as we shift into fall, I thought it would be nice as we think about cornucopia and turkeys, I thought it might be nice to talk a little bit about gratitude, being appreciative and thankful for the things and the people in our lives that are valuable. It not only helps our emotional and our spiritual health, but it also can, like there have been some studies around that shows that it can actually help with our physical health too. Unfortunately, we live in a broken world and life gets pretty complicated and messy, overwhelming. Our brains can be hardwired to focus on the negative. So gratitude has its own enemies. And we'll be focusing on some of those enemies over the next few weeks. But one enemy of gratitude is worry. Fear, nervousness, anxiety, whatever you want to call it. And I'll be very honest with you, a little bit vulnerable. I have struggled with anxiety and depression as far back as I can remember. I mean, most of that's like in hindsight, because I didn't know what it was called when I was a kid, and I thought that that was just sort of a normal thing. But as I've grown up, I've learned more about it, and I've come to understand it a little bit better. And I've been able to find ways to both recognize when my anxiety has taken over the things in my life, and also the things that kind of help to ease it. Now, one of the things that has helped me is medication, because most of my anxiety is the result of chemicals not working the way that they're supposed to. So Paul's words of telling me not to worry about anything doesn't really do a whole lot to ease my mind. And quite honestly, it feels a little condescending. Like my angsty teenager rises up and is like, ugh. And I go to my room and I slam my door. You don't understand anything, Paul. But also, I don't think that any of us really likes to be told what to feel. I don't know if you've ever had the unfortunate opportunity to tell someone to calm down. That does not usually work the way that you think it will. So another issue that comes up here is that, you know, when Paul is telling us to rejoice and not worry, that leads to a lot of Christians and churches stressing this sort of Pollyanna-ish, like cheerfulness, and sort of neglecting the true, honest complexities of life and those real psychological issues. It's kind of like, it's almost as if we believe that our faith and, by extension, God is too fragile to handle the darkness of human life. I've told several of you before, when you were going through some hard times. God can take it. God can take all of your anger and your frustration and your sadness and your pain. God can take everything that we throw. Paul doesn't mean, like when Paul says, do not worry about anything and to rejoice in the Lord always, Paul isn't talking about perpetual happiness. Because Paul is very aware. Paul has experienced darkness, fear, pain, sorrow. Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians from a Roman prison. He's awaiting a trial that will most likely result in the death penalty. Paul has been threatened and rejected and beaten. He was haunted by a past that was filled with contempt and violence. But Paul also knew firsthand how the church at Philippi was suffering under Roman oppression. Apostles are being persecuted. Families are being torn apart, and the people are living in uncertainty and fear. And that fear causes arguments and rifts in the congregation. I know that this is something that this congregation knows nothing about, especially in light of a recent and ongoing pandemic. Paul doesn't just say, don't worry, be joyful because things are great. He knows that things aren't great. He's fully aware that things are not going well. Paul doesn't say, rejoice in your family or your job or your health or your safety. He tells the Philippians, as he tells us, rejoice in the Lord. And while Paul urges us to have no anxiety, he can't possibly mean that we're never to worry, because if you read much of this letter to the Philippians, he seems pretty agitated himself in parts. His advice here is to overcome the expected chaos of life by offering it up to God. As we ask God to take care of our worries, we weave gratitude into our prayers. Sometimes our prayers can end up looking a little bit like shopping lists, and we kind of forget to include that thanksgiving and that gratefulness, that gratitude in there. Our anxieties really cloud everything that we're privileged to receive. But as we become more attuned to what we're thankful for, we can be assured that the peace of God is guarding our hearts and grounding us in Christ. And we try to be happy in all sorts of ways with all sorts of material things. And these are material things that just can't last. When we try to build joy out of temporal things, that joy is always going to be temporary. All of that can be taken. On the other hand, God's peace is everlasting. But the thing about God's peace is that it's not something that we can just conjure up within ourselves and experience just like through sheer will. Peace and joy come from God, And the way that we receive them is through constant spiritual practice. Prayer, contemplation. And when I say prayer and spiritual practice here, I'm talking about an actual relationship with God, not some sort of technique. There isn't a formulaic magic prayer or a specific spiritual practice that automatically is going to dissolve all of your worry and create instant inner peace. Like any other relationship in our lives, connecting with God takes practice and patience. But when we are joined with God in continual conversation, we can see, we can witness to God's actions. Even while acknowledging uncertainty, difficulty, and pain. But wait, there's more. In America, in our American, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps culture, we often think that we have to do all of this on our own. For Paul, though, this is a communal process. When Paul says rejoice, literally in the Greek, that is a plural verb. It's in the plural form. The church is supposed to rejoice together in the Lord. Again, this isn't a superficial cheerfulness. Rather, this is about a deep joy in what God has done in Christ and is continuing to do through all of the saints, you and I. This joy in the Lord not only comes from the Lord, but is also shared by all of us who live in Him. We express it by sharing Christ's love and concern for other people. And this kind of collective rejoicing is continuous. The Philippians, and we can rejoice in all circumstances because all circumstances are opportunities for us to witness to the Lord. Again, Paul is not telling us, put our heads in the sand, avoid the harshness of the world, just ignore it and it'll go away. Paul is also not telling us to lift up suffering, to exalt it, to praise suffering, that it's good for us. Rather, Paul is telling us to put our heads in the clouds, to give thanks and witness to the presence of God and the workings of Christ in the salvation of the world through our actions. Letting go of our worry isn't a matter of ignoring what is wrong. It's a confidence in what is right. It's dropping our anchor in the good news of Christ rather than waiting for the news of the world to calm us down. Ridding your life of worry is not a matter of reducing stress, but increasing trust. So Paul says, rejoice. And if the first time doesn't take, again, I say, rejoice. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, O Beauty Ever Ancient. Before we head back out into the world, let me offer a charge and a blessing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Do not worry. With thanksgiving, speak to God your needs and the needs of this world. Ponder what is pleasing and excellent. Rejoice always. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you this day and forevermore. Amen.